Hermit Slam podcast. I'm Andrew McGregor, and with each installation in this podcast, we're going to explore the world of spirituality, what it means to be alive, and how is it that we can bring our spiritual selves, tarot, meditation, religious or spiritual practices, into our daily lives. Please check out all of our episodes at thehermitslamp.com/podcasts, or you can search The Hermit's Lamp in podcasts on iTunes and download them all directly that way. If you are looking for card-by-card instruction on reading the tarot, please consider checking out James Wells and my new audio project, The Trumps Card-by-Card, where we dig in deep to one of the major cards and explore it thoroughly. If that sounds exactly like what you're looking for and gets your tarot juices all fired up, you can certainly also find that at thehermitslamp.com/podcasts. So welcome back to another episode of The Hermit's Lamp podcast. I'm here today with Nancy Antonucci, and you know, we're going to talk about what it's like to live in your life where you're aware of spirits and kind of what that looks like and how that impacts our reading processes and just what that experience is like. So for those who might not have come across you yet, Nancy, why don't you give us a quick introduction of yourself?
Hello, I'm Nancy Antonucci. I live in St. Paul. I've been reading tarot for about, reading and teaching it for about 30 years. I have a book called Psychic Tarot, How to Use Your Natural Abilities to Read the Cards. And what else? I have two black cats, a 15-year-old son, a lovely husband, and a very strange little dog.
Excellent. And what's your dog's name?
Pippi, as in the same attitude of Pippi Longstocking, who carried two horses on her shoulders at any given time. So, yeah, she has the same attitude.
Uh-huh. Excellent. Nice. Yeah, we read Pippi Longstockings to my oldest daughter recently. She got about halfway through it, and then she's like, I don't like this anymore. I was like, all right.
Pippi is an acquired taste.
Exactly. I was kind of curious about where it was going, but
yeah, really.
She lost her
she's
taste
like
for
it. Nasty Alice in Wonderland.
Exactly. So, let me ask you this. When did you start being aware that you could perceive spirits, you know, ghosts, guides, ancestors, whatever that was?
You know, I don't remember a time when I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So I never fell out of that. I remember like when I was a young girl, I was walking back from the library and I would hear my voice, somebody calling me. I was very aware of, you know, it just seemed natural to me. I had a real vivid imagination and I just kind of thought that that's how everybody saw things. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Jesus in church and an assembly of sick people. Churches are actually in a major place for invisible beings to hang out. Churches, you know, unlike Wings of Desire, the angels would always go to the library and listen to people. But I think most invisibles kind of hang at churches or sacred. Well, I'm jumping into the next thing already, but yeah, I've always been aware of invisible beings around me. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I was really interested in a lot of that kind of stuff. And then I spent a lot of time alone in the woods when I was a kid. You know, we would just go down the street into this forest and, I'd go with my friends, you know, I mean, it was the 70s, right? It was that kind of parenting. Yeah, go ahead. We'll see you later, right?
Yeah, and we would be back for dinner.
Yeah, be back before the sun goes down, you know? And, you know, I mean, we'd go off into the woods that went, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly how far from where I lived they went, but, you know, they went for miles. You know, you could just go and go and go. I mean, eventually you'd hit some of the concessions and side roads, but even at that, it was forest on both sides or farmland, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just go out and wander and play and listen. And, you know, there was always a sense of what was going on in there.
Right.
In terms of seeing stuff, in terms of actually sort of visual perception, you know, when I, as a teen and in my early 20s, I spent a lot of time doing ceremonial type stuff. And part of that was building up that perception of the visual perception of things. And that's really for me where it started to escalate into, you know, seeing spirits in their wholeness, you know, seeing them, the ones who want to show up as they were when they were alive or in other ways, you know. My one grandfather, you know, always shows up when he shows up, like he was dressed when he was in the Korean War, you know. And I talked to my mom about that later, and she's like, it doesn't surprise me because that was the time that he was happiest. He's like, all the rest of his life, he was never really happy.
Oh, wait, but, Andrew, I have a theory about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was he in his 30s? Or would he have been younger?
Yeah, I would say he's probably in his 30s.
I'm telling you, I think that that's like one of the best decades for humans because most people that have passed over and come back, for me, are in their 30s. Mm-hmm. They show up in their 30s. And I talked to my mother-in-law about that years ago before she passed. She goes, well, that makes sense to me because we're not kids anymore, but we're not, you know, feeling age, mm-hmm. you know? So it's that beautiful decade, you know, that if I have trouble seeing a ghost or a spirit, I see them as two different. I see ghosts very differently than I see spirits. But if I wanted to see a spirit, I just ask them to come in their 30s. You know, could you show me who you were in your 30s? And usually.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to play with that and see what comes of it. Yeah. I'll report back.
Yeah. Because I very rarely do I see old spirits. They're almost always 30s or 40s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, if there was suicide. For some reason, suicide seems to really kind of cement that moment. You know, not the moment of the suicide, but the moment of that age.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well,
they never seemed age.
That makes total sense to me, right? They, you know, yeah. There's so much emotional intensity there. Right. It just, you know, I mean, it freezes it, you know, and just like, you know, my idea is that just like emotion when we're doing magic, you know, or spiritual things, emotion when we're crossing over, it carries a lot of power, right? It's kind of one of the batteries that we can draw on.
Right.
And, you know, and so I think that people who pass difficultly or, you know, in other ways, you know, it can really kind of concretize them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go a little, so I already stepped out on the limb here, but
go ahead.
And this is, when I was thinking about doing this conversation with you, I thought, okay, really, what do I believe about these things? Do I still believe what I believe when I wrote the book, which is now a new barometer? Whenever you write a book, then you can kind of go, oh, crap, I don't believe that anymore. But if you wait until you're too old to write one, then, you know, it's better just to kind of compare, you know, your new way of thinking. So, but I do, I wrote in the book and I still firmly believe for me, and this is just working knowledge for me, because if it works for me, I use it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, I don't care. You know, I don't even really care about the theory that much. I just, as long as it works, which is, to me, ghosts are humans that have not passed over yet. They've died, but they haven't passed over. Mm-hmm. So they're hanging. They're hanging around. And I kind of, in the book, I don't know if I named them this, but to me, they feel heavy to me. They feel alcoholic. You know, the way you feel around an alcoholic who is just, it's all about them and what they need next. And what their comfort level is. And it's like, okay, I don't deal with that kind of alcoholic that well. I'm sure is not going to be able to do an invisible like that. Mm-hmm. although it's a good take, it's a good tell for me. When I feel that energy, I go, okay, this is not someone who's passed over. And to me, spirits are the ones that have passed over, so they can come back and forth easily and fluidly. And often might have some request, but oftentimes don't. You know, I mean, they, you know, they're there maybe to help you with the land or to protect the neighborhood or to, I mean, they have some reasons, but with the ghosts, the first thing I do, Andrew, is like one of my my intuitive impulses just to go, okay, I tell clients to say out loud what you're thinking, you know, not that they could maybe hear your thoughts, but I would say, no, they're probably dense. So it would help if you said it out loud and just say, I sense you in the room. I don't know who you are. I don't want to know who you are. You are dead. So you need to find the light or just leave this house.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, it's not like when people die, they automatically access wisdom, right? Which is
right.
One of those things that people think like, oh, well, you know, it's the spirit of my mom. I'm like, yeah, well, how was your relationship with your mom in life? You know, is it feel the same now? In which case, you know, maybe it is the same now, right? You know, like you say, right. Maybe they haven't crossed over and come back or resolved their issue or whatever we want to consider that. Maybe they're just, you know, wallowing in it, in which case, of course, they're not going to hear you because they weren't going to listen when they were alive, right?
Right, right. You know, I had a couple friends die from AIDS, and right before my best friend, he's my Anamkara, when he died, or when he was really sick, he did and said things that I just couldn't believe were coming from him, and the nurse who was really good with AIDS patients said, you know, that's when the reptile brain comes forward. That some of that is what he was taught. Some mm-hmm. of that he was trained, you know, so now it's coming out. Don't think this is what he feels or believes. This was the stuff that was locked up back there. You know, and I think death might do that for a lot of people. It's your fear. You're going to be punished by God. You're going to be, you know, it's like some of that might come forward and they don't want to go. You know, it's like, no, I have to stay here then. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help. And I think as humans, we give a lot of street cred because you're invisible. It's almost like, you know, come on. It's like a dancer who spends 4 years in New York City. Now, if she just took class once a week and worked as a waitress, still, if she went to any podunk town in any other place, they'd go, wow, you danced in New York City for 4 years? And it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, there's some street cred there. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make sense to me. Just because someone's invisible doesn't mean that they know more. I think that's why people get fascinated with ghosts, because it's like, oh my God.
And that's one of the things I think is a big problem, right? The minute people are,
absolutely,
there's a fine line where you being curious, being fascinated, you know, really, really being sort of excited about the phenomenon of things.
Right.
It's problematic, you know?
Oh.
I mean, if it's not, for me, if a relationship with a spirit is not chill like it is with a friend, you know, and a friend you like and who's healthy, right? You know, not like a
right.
crazy
yeah.
friend, you know,
yeah.
where it's like, hey, you wanna come on Tuesday and we'll have a chat and hang out and have a coffee? Awesome, done. Okay, great. You know, if it's like the middle of the night and they're like knocking on your door, it's like, you know, I don't want that friend. You know,
that's
like,
right.
I'm sorry you're having problems, but you gotta go. You know.
Exactly. Now, there's other kinds of spirits, though, too, that I've experienced. And this, the most frightening, people ask me, you know, what's the most frightening visage or, you know, psyche or persona that you've, you know. And I said it was a tree. It was the scariest damn tree. And I've never, ever been that scared. We were young. We were drinking a little too much. We were hanging around this cemetery, and there was this big black tree that was like at this cemetery, like a country. I came from central Pennsylvania, so I also spent a lot of times in woods. Well, this big black tree was hanging over, and I can't, to this day, I still say to myself, that cannot have happened. That could not have happened. You know, but I stood there in this tree, it, all of a sudden it became like a Stephen King tree. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't going to necessarily hit me with its branches or something. It wouldn't have had to by then. It was already just like gripping my brain. It still, bottom line, the most frightening kind of spirit. And all I could think of later when I left, the further we drove away from the cemetery, the better, of course, you know, and I'm sitting in the car going, boy, someone's unhappy at that cemetery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me when I got away from it that it may not have been the tree, but kind of transmitting through the tree.
Mm-hmm. It was like a focus point for something right. or a collection of somethings that was hanging out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you the scariest thing I ever experienced. So at the shop that I started reading at, I walked in one day and I looked at these people at the back and I'm like, oh, ugh, you know, and uh-huh. and then, you know, of course, the person, the counter person that goes, hey, Andrew, your next reading is there and points at these people. And the first thought that runs through my head is, I should say no to this right now. I should just uh-huh. give them their money back. And, yep. you know, money is one of those things sometimes that convinces us to do things that we shouldn't, right?
Right.
So exactly. I was like, eh, you know, but it's money and I need some money, you know, it was whatever, you know, groceries or, you know, whatever, right? Like just,
I'll stay balanced. I won't get too far off here.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was more like, eh, you know, I'm here to get paid. So, you know, okay. I had this notion in the beginning when I first started reading that my job was to just kind of say yes, you know, like mm-hmm. now when clients come in with stuff, if I don't like what they want to, if I don't want to have a conversation about what they want to have, if their energy is something that I don't like, if they're not respectful, you know, any of those kinds right. of things, oh, if they ask me for a discount, you know, I'm like, I don't want to read for them. You know, I won't. But in the right. beginning, I thought that my job was to say yes to whatever and, you know, basically these were the clients at the shop and I was there to serve them. Right. So I kind of have grown out of that now. But so I'm like, all right, let's go in. You know, so and you had to go out the front door and over to the next door to go into the reading room, right? And uh-huh. so we walk in, and as soon as we walk in, there are all these shrines for the other reader who worked there, whose office I basically read out of. And all this stuff starts flying off of the shelves and smashing, you know, candles and this and other stuff. And just
how many people were you were just going to read for one person?
Yeah, there's this woman and her daughter and I was just going to read for her. Right.
Wow.
And, you know, so I'm like, so I come in and so now I'm freaked out. Right. I'm like,
yeah.
All right. number one, I've never actually seen something move things before, you know, and I was like,
right,
like physically move something, you know, it wasn't like in the movies where it flies across the room, but
right,
you know. But at the same time,
you knew something was being moved.
Well, I've walked in and out of this room, you know, five times a day, every day for a year. At this point, nothing's ever wobbled or fallen, let alone a bunch of things, right? And you know, so there's no obvious physical cause, and you know, and it was more than one thing, and it's not like anything was different than the previous two readings I had done that day or whatever it was or the day before. And, you know, so I was like, okay, this is really creepy. And I sit down and I look at this person and I'm just like, okay. And so immediately the spirit, the energy around them, I'm like, okay, so you've been cursed, number one, right? And number two, the spirit that's around you wants to take your life. And you know, the person was like they had no doubt. Like it wasn't one of those things where, you know, they're like, I know that's why I'm here. And I'm like, so we start talking, we read a few cards and whatever. And,
wait,
and basically,
she said she knows.
Yeah, she was aware. That's why she came to me. Cause she
okay,
heard.
Okay, that's a whole different story.
Cause she had heard that I could help her. That's why she came to me. Right. And,
you know, so I'm reading some cards and I'm like saying some prayers and I'm like, all right, come on, Michael, get in here. Come on, Michael. I need you to keep me safe through this thing. Right. You know?
Right.
And anyways, to sort of trim it down to the point of the story, basically she was a horrible person. She was running some kind of sex trade brothel, like way at the edges of illegitimacy. And like at the edges of, you know, morality, like, you know, I mean, there's ways in which those things can be fine and there's ways in which those things are just bad practice. And what she confessed was that these, I forget where they're from. They were all from the same country, but this person who ran this gang or whatever, basically wanted her to come and be a part of their group, their organization. It's like a movie, right? A bad movie. And she refused, and he told her that he was going to do this to her unless she came and, you know, became part of his group, right? And, uh-huh. I mean, at the end of the reading, I was like, basically, here's the deal. You close down and you move away, and you're probably live. You do anything else, I can't do anything for you. I don't want to do anything for you. And to be honest, after reading for you today, I don't ever want to see you again, you know, because I was like, I cannot be drawn into that, you know? And it was, I mean, as you can imagine by the stuff moving around, it's crazy intense, you know, and the energy of it is just way over the top.
Did she stop?
I have no idea. I never saw her again.
Yeah.
Like she.
See, and the first thing that hits me when I listen to you that about that story, it's like that would have been a whole different story had she stopped all of the bad behavior she was doing.
Of course, right? You know, I mean.
Yeah, you have spirits that are coming in there and helping you. But if you're still doing the bad stuff and someone puts bad juju on you, it's like, oh, well.
Exactly. You know, like, you can't be, you know, I mean, especially back when I worked there, I ended up reading for, you know, people who were on the wrong side of the law and, you know, had serious problems and stuff like that. And, you know, and I don't want to read for those people. I don't read for those people anymore. If I have a sense of that,
right.
When they come in, I'm just like, you know what? Can't help you with your issues. You got to go somewhere else.
See, and I feel that same way if I found somebody was really a big financier of fracking. Uh-huh. I would feel the very same. Sure. You know, it's like, ooh, wrong side of the tracks, pal.
Well, because if you hang out with bad people and unethical people, what's going to happen? You know,
that's right.
You're going to have problems, right? And if you're messing around with stuff, you know, that you don't understand or that you know,
right?
Or if you're hanging out with people who you know are doing these kinds of things, you know, like magically, right. Spiritually, right?
I have a lot of people that come and just, honestly, God, Andrew, just put their power on the table for me.
Yeah.
And the first thing I say is, don't you ever do that again. Yeah. I don't care who you're with. Don't ever give your power over until you know, and don't even give your power over completely, but, you know, until you know where that person is coming from.
Yeah.
You know, I had a real meek, lovely little woman. Oh, I do. She's amazing. But she was such a lost soul. And she just said, I just want to do this stuff. And I said, why? Why do you? And she said, I don't know. And I said, then I can't help you until you know. Mm-hmm. Because if you just, my very first teacher, I only had one, in my mind, one really strong spiritual teacher. And the first thing he said was, Nancy, there's two kinds of magic. The kind where you add water and stir, or the kind where you put the seeds in, you plant it, and you wait for it to grow. If you're interested in number two, I can teach you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But because there's all kinds of people that will show you number one.
Yes.
And I just went, oh, darn it. I kind of wanted one.
Well, don't we all, right? I mean, let's be honest.
22.
You know, I mean, when I, you know, when
we
I got
that, don't we just want to be the magicians. We just want to go.
Sure, exactly. You know, right?
And so I think that's what it is with invisibles. They take advantage of. Well, it goes both ways. I think some invisibles take advantage of us not having the magic in our lives that we think we should have. So we think it's funny when cups go across the table or the toaster turns on and off, and it's like, hello, are they helping pay mortgage? If they, why are they in your house bothering you?
Exactly. Are they going to replace that mug? You know, yeah. That mug costs money. You know?
I know. But we also take advantage of them, like ghost hunters and stuff. To me, it's like, no, bring someone in there and release these ghosts, you know, not let's put a little bars up and make them our monkeys now. Exactly. They're our monkeys.
Well, and, you know, and the other side of it, too, of course, is that often people aren't even actually making contact with something else, you know? Like, sometimes they are, you know, definitely they are. But there's also that other layer where people are, like, fixated with things that are basically just psychological projections, right? You know? Or they're psychological projections that one of these sort of less evolved energy patterns are basically just kind of animating and reinforcing, right? And
so people think, a loop. It's like watching bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good movies, but they're not really happening. They're but the energy is so strong that way, like a bad habit. Bad habits have a lot of energy behind them.
Of course.
You know, so it just loops and loops and loops. And it's like, oh, what is that?
Well, one of my teachers explains around some ghost phenomenons that basically, from their perspective, what they're like is some elemental or some other thing, some kind of energy, some kind of spirit is, because you're interested, is basically reaching into the Akashic records or whatever you want to think about and pulling out a file and basically animating it for you. But it's not necessarily true. It may be true, may not. Depends on how clear you are. And it may be just sort of reaching into the Akashic records and pulling out a mask and putting it on for you. And then, you know, becoming more problematic over time, you know?
Right. So,
yeah.
I know. This stuff, I'm telling you, this is, you know, you know what I'm not interested in, you know, and I'm not that interested in categories like, no, I'm a medium. No, I'm a clairvoyant. No, I'm a chakra reader. You know, it's like, it's energy. It's energy. It's energy for me. So it's kind of like, of course I'm going to read, you know, about someone who crossed over, but I'm not going to sit there for an hour and talk just for that person. What about your life? Where are you right now? You know, I'm not that interested. I had a person call and think, I'm hopeful, Andrew. More people are calling me and interviewing me a little bit. And I'm thinking, good. Would you please do that with everybody? Just who are you? How long have you been doing this? How did you get educated? How did you teach yourself? You know, I'm getting some smart questions these days, but this person wants, are you a full out medium? Will we just sit there for the hour? I just want to listen to my father. And I said, no, I'm not interested in that.
Exactly. That's why I wrote a manifesto last year, early this year, and put it up on my website so that, you know, I'm like,
I got to check that out.
Somewhere it says, you know, on the tarot page, it says, you know, you know, you want to figure out if I'm the right person for you, go and read this. And then if you like it, then I'm probably the right person for you, you know?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And I get a lot of people who've been on my, they're like, oh yeah, I was on your website and I read all this stuff and I don't want to come. I'm like, good. Cause I, you know, I don't.
That eliminates. Yeah.
I don't want to like have someone show up and have them be, oh, I want this. I'm like, that's not me, you know, to the greatest extent possible. I want to kind of filter that. So that people can go after whatever they feel is important and then not feel, you know, put out by showing up. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So. Mm-hmm.
You know what I find interesting with the invisibles? I just call them the invisibles because who knows if it's elemental, if it's a ghost, unless you kind of talk or sense it. is when I'm with other energy readers. Like, if I were to walk through a forest with you, that would be, and I gave myself permission to just kind of see fully, because I don't. That is not, that channel is not open 24/7. I call it need to bleed.
Yeah.
To know, like, if I'm going to bleed or someone I know is going to bleed, interrupt me.
Yeah.
But if not, no, my shingle is not up right now, except for I do give that to myself with people that I trust and really, want to, kind of explore that third dimension with. And that is kind of amazing when you can kind of just see, and a lot of it could be projection. I'm assuming it is, I'm just assuming on my part that I'm actually projecting what I want to see. Right. But still, even in that holy space, it comes down to me as like, that's the way I saw when I was 7, Andrew. Mm-hmm. I saw up to being 7 years old. That's how I saw all the time.
For sure.
And I just feel like in some ways, first of all, then after I visit with friends like that, I'm tired. I don't want to be, and I want to watch bad TV. I just want to, it's almost like some of the muscles in my brain have gotten a little lame that way. So it takes a while to build that. But
I just spent 3 days in ceremony with people. Uh-huh. And, it's tiring. It's exciting.
Absolutely.
But there's nothing like, I spent.
That is not day-to-day living, I got to tell you.
Exactly. On the first day, I got up at 5 o'clock, and I got back to bed at 10 o'clock. Like, I got back to being done at 10 o'clock at night,
Wow.
And despite being physically active and, all this kind of stuff all day, I couldn't sleep. I woke up too early. I woke up earlier than I needed to the next day because there's just so much energy all the time. And it's just like, it becomes disruptive to the body's functions to step into so much energy. Eventually you can acclimatize to it, I think, because certainly I've acclimatized to reading as much as I do and, that kind of stuff now. But, but it's hard to.
It is like muscle building.
Yeah, you know, it's like you go to a conference, right? It's so exciting to be at a conference and there's so many people to talk to and so many things to get fired up about. And then, afterwards there's this like big drain that it takes time for me to bounce back from,
Absolutely. There are times at conferences where I feel like we're floating, and to me, there's a couple things that I would love to see happen at all conferences is A, could we name that? Mm-hmm. Just name it. It's kind of like, we're all waiting for that something magical to happen. And yet when it actually does happen, I don't know if anyone's really naming it, so that way it doesn't get. I almost feel like there's something misses sometimes with the container because I don't feel like we should all crash afterwards, but I'm pretty sure we all do.
Well, yeah. I'm doing a conference next year with James Wells, Marcus Santali from the Tarosophy people and Marilyn Shannon. So we're doing a conference in the spring here in Toronto.
And when is that? Is that like next March?
It's going to be June 20, whatever that weekend is.
Okay,
the summer solstice weekend here in Toronto. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much here, but the whole weekend is going to be structured with ceremony, with an opening, a closing, and not just like a closing, like, hey, everybody, thanks for being here, may the cards carry you away, whatever, right?
Right.
But, a little more structured magic, right?
Right.
And the whole weekend is going to be structured and arranged to be conscious and consistently, consciously working to invoke and acknowledge that magical stuff. You know, and so
and you got the solstice working with you too.
Exactly, I mean, right?
So that, you know, would be helpful.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, we'll see how it goes, right? Because it's an experiment in some ways too. But you know, given the spiritual practices of the people involved, I think that we all have the strength to carry that, even if some of the people attending are new to those kinds of experiences. But I think that that level of let's really live, you know, like you say, let's go into the forest for a weekend and roll back some of those boundaries, you know, maybe not drop them, but roll them back some and live more in that space, you know, and then,
you know, to walk between the veils.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, when I used to do tarot circles before there were meetups, I would have tarot circles and we would kind of get this beautiful, we would work together to get to this place of love and working in the veils. And at the end, we always held hands or arms and we would send that energy out. Whatever energy you didn't want to keep, you would send out into the world to all the people that are isolated and don't have any circles and are in a place where that might feel like a self-made prison, and just send that energy to them.
Right.
You know, so that it keeps regenerating. Because that's what's so beautiful about magic. It is like gardening. You know, sure. It's like, good, then that grew something and I can give you some of my hostas because they're growing like crazy. And
exactly. The zucchinis are in. Here, have some. You know?
Please. Please. Not the zucchini.
It's the curse of the magical zucchinis, you know. I have too many. Please take them.
This is the fifth time I've had zucchini pasta.
Exactly. I really like what you're saying too about not getting caught up in labels, you know. I think that more helpful labels are evolved and unevolved, helpful and unhelpful, you know, accurate and non-accurate if you're looking for something like that, you know, because people get so caught up in, you know, because I have a store too. So people come in, not even to see me, but just come in to shop. And then they start talking about what they're doing. We have a little conversation. So I get to kind of, you know, both as a reader and as a store person, connect with people who are doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get so caught up in the language of things and
God.
The labels of things. And I'm like,
doesn't it sound like a secret code? It's like, oh no, this is what psychologists do all the time. I used to temp for psychologists and it was like, cut the code. Just talk like humans.
Exactly. With that, or sometimes it feels like, yeah, I just got my, you know, my new Nike Spirit this week. And, you know, I think I'm gonna get my Nike spiritual hat next week. And, you know, I'm thinking there's a really nice jacket, a Nike jacket that I want that's going to allow me to command the archangels, you know. It's only $1,500, right, you know.
I know, I did a soul retrieval for $350, you know, and sure, now everything's okay with me and my mom because I got that piece of my soul back. And I'm like, yeah, right. In a year and a half, let's see it all surface again.
Well, exactly, right? Exactly, you know?
Oh, we're silly.
We are silly.
Think of it. We are the weirdest combination, Andrew. We are spirit and animal, you know, like we are this very odd experiment that I think is funny. I mean, really, on good days, it's just funny as shit how these two things work together or don't.
It's so important to recognize it as this sort of, we are spirit and we're animal, but we're also just this continuum of things, you know. And when we start defining it too much, you know, it's like, man,
right,
that's a problem too, you know. I mean, Not that definitions are bad, because I think good definitions are profound,
right?
You know, but it's like I'm doing this work right now, coming out of a reading I had with Carrie Paris, and you know, where I want to embody the Hierophants as kind of part of my next set of work, as my kind of guiding principle for like maybe the next 6 months or maybe a year, right? And specifically what I want to reveal, like the Hierophant, the word Hierophant means to reveal the sacred. It's one possible etymology of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, the it's not about, you know, I don't need to get a mitre or, you know, a big fancy stick or, you know, have people coming in front of me and sit on a throne. What I need to do is evaluate what I'm doing and ask whether or not it's revealing the sacred in the people who come to see me, in to myself, to the world in other ways.
Oh, that's beautiful.
In the way I think that these conversations reveal.
Yeah, it's like a filter. You're using a hierophant filter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and almost a hierophant yardstick. Is this hierophantic? No. Well, you know, I'll put it.
Would the hierophant do?
Exactly. I'll put it on the list for maybe next year when I'm into something else. You know, but you know, but I'm not gonna change my name to Hierophant. You know, I'm not gonna go. You know, get something tattooed on my knuckles that says Hierophant for life, you know, because we're always evolving. We're always growing. And, you know, and spirits, at least the kind of spirits that I like to work with, are also always evolving. They have a consciousness and they have a life that is not about being at my beck and call. Right. You know,
absolutely. That's kind of a big, you know, there was an older woman who lost her husband. I had been reading for her for years before she lost her husband. We saw her losing her husband, not a specific time, but it was like, okay, just let's make sure papers are in order. I'm just saying, you mm-hmm. know, and then he passed and she went off on this other tangent where she wanted him to turn the lights on and off to make sure he was there. And she wanted him to do this and she wanted him to do that. And I said, honey, he's not a circus monkey.
Yeah.
You know, he has other things to do. So, you know, but it was her fear of I'm alone, you know, and it's like, well, let's look at that. Let's look at the choices you have about that, you know, mm-hmm. but to insist that he's at your beck and call is not, you know, this was another thing I wanted to mention to you because I was thinking about this dialogue. One time we were stuck, this was about 10 years ago, and we were stuck in really bad traffic. And then we saw a couple of ambulances go by and we're like, oh, this is not good. I mean, I just had that gut feeling like, nah, this is not just a car wreck, mm-hmm. you know, and we drove by and sure enough, you know, somebody had been killed and they were laying on their belly. They had a blanket over them. And all you saw were his kids. I'm pretty sure I knew it was a guy. Mm-hmm. And one leg was turned in the wrong way, yeah. you know, so whatever he got hit and he was dead. And I remember looking at his feet and I just thought, you know, I bet his mom, I don't know why, but I just had this thought, you know, damn it. You know, his mom must have just saw those kids that morning.
Right.
You know, before he put them on. I just felt so bad for him, you mm-hmm. know. And then for the next week, I was obsessed with this. I couldn't find out who it was or what town is he from? I just wanted some information from him. And then I realized when I drove by one day that he was still standing there and I went, oh my God, the wreck really threw him. You know, like he just didn't know where he was. And he wanted, I think that he wanted me to get more information to help him.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the information, but I saw him standing by the side of the road. I said, babe, I'm sorry. You died. You died like in a minute. Uh-huh. You know, so you're okay. You're free now. You don't really, you can kind of go over the other side and come back and love us up all you want, but you're free.
And did he go away? Did you
see him again? Yeah, he did. They waved.
Yeah.
And he walked off. You know, but he was, and so I do think car accidents, you know, when I was talking about ghosts hanging because they're scared, the ones that are alcoholic and needy to me are the ones that have been here for like 40 years
exactly.
human time. They're the ones that bother me. But the ones that just die like that, that are kind of like, oh, what the hell just happened? I don't even know what happened. Mm-hmm. That also happened after 9/11. I was getting clients that were coming who don't really do a lot of energy, don't do energy work. I mean, they do other kinds of work. And mm-hmm. And they were having bad dreams and these people were coming and crying and talking to them. And I thought, wait a minute, this is kind of happening to a lot of my clients. What is going on? And it was the ones that were doing energy work weren't really opening up the office hours enough for these people that died traumatically because they couldn't go to their families because their families were completely numb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they needed to talk to someone. You know, it's like, can I talk to somebody? I just need to talk to somebody. So they would just go to anyone. Mm-hmm. So I just said to the people I was working with, either somehow you have the ability to listen, which would be loving, very loving. But if you could just do that for a half hour every day and tell them, this is when I do it. So if you need to talk to me, this is when we do it.
Absolutely. I give that advice to people all the time. You know,
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
look, I'm going to be at my ancestral shrine at this time on this day for this long. If
that's
you need
right.
to talk to me, you please show up then. If you can't respect that, then please go find somebody else.
You know? That's right. And no, I'm not. Don't wake me up. And, exactly. you know, and they it did it for a couple of my clients that really they became energy workers because of that, because they had no idea that they had that kind of ability. Although, Andrew, all of us do. Don't you think all of us do, or is that just me? Is that, am I just being completely Aries optimistic? You know, there?
No, or, I think everybody does. I think that it's, everybody has the possibility to do those things. And I think that it's just a question of degree, right? You know, it's like
right.
people ask me, you know, like people are always like, oh, can I learn to read the cards? I'm like, everybody can learn to read the cards. You know, it's right. no problem, right? Are you going to be, you know, the superstar of, you know, best card reader in the world? Well, not, you know, maybe not. Maybe. Who knows, right? Are right. you going to be able to read and to interpret the cards and to get advice from them and to get help from them? And, you know, it's like, yeah, anybody can learn how to do it in a perfectly competent and good manner. You know what I mean? It's just like fixing cars or any other kind of skill. You know, right. it's like learning to dance, you know, because you're a dancer, right? You know,
yeah.
everybody can learn to move their body, you know. Is everybody going to be paid $1 million to go dance on stage in New York City? You know, probably not, you know. But you can learn to move and have fun and get all sorts of benefits from it, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I, when it's same when clients are like, "Do you, what's it like to talk to the dead?" And I said, "You never ever talk to your grandmother. You like, you never ever like think of them at a grocery store or something." And yeah. so, that's them talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really, we do it all the time. But I do, I give, there's a couple techniques that I do give clients so that they feel like they can navigate that new relationship because now that person's invisible. Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
You know, for sure.
You.
Yeah.
Which is one, you, it would be helpful before they died to have some kind of, how are you, if you need me to pay attention, how do you get, how will you initiate the phone call? Because the problem for a lot of us is we feel like we're always making the phone call, you know, and that would bother us with any friend. Like if you're always calling and they never call you back, it's
Absolutely.
Like after a while you kind of figure, eh, they don't really care that much about me. So my friend Dennis, who died of AIDS, we had this pact. That when he died, the three disco songs that we always dance to, if that ever comes up in any situation, I know he's trying to get me.
Mm.
And I just stop what I'm doing and going, okay, what, Dennis?
Mm-hmm.
And that's even harder now because those three disco songs were popular like in 85. You know, so, like, you so when I hear him now, I really, the hair stands up on my head. Like, holy crap, he really had to work hard to get that song to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a way to, how can they initiate that to you? Did you guys have a favorite song? Did you, like, did they always pick up a penny? So if you see a penny, that's, like, kind of come up with a new deal about how to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other is speak out loud. You know, when you're sensing a spirit, you know, especially one in love, say out loud, I know you're in the room, and just whatever else is on your mind, that, like, that kind of scares me, or I kind of really miss you,
yeah.
you know, just see what comes back, what kind of imagery or idea or feeling comes back to you.
Yeah, and I think it's important not to get lost in the less significant part of that process, which is that the song showed up. The song is not, the song might be the message. I mean, the message might be as simple as, hey, I'm around. I just thought I'd come by and say hi.
Yeah,
it might be, but probably it's more than that. Probably there's other things going on. And, you know, if we're just like, oh, you know, whatever, Backstreet Boys Hangin' Tough came on today. Cool. Nice, you know, thinking about old memories. That's great. But if there are these sort of messages, what do they actually mean?
That's what you listen. Yeah, you just open your head and listen. You know, don't talk at them. You know, just listen.
Exactly.
Because that's the one thing with it. And I'm not taking away from John Edwards at all, but a lot of those shows, it seems like they spend an enormous amount of time figuring out who it is you're talking about. And then most of the time they just go, I just want you to know I'm okay. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I just spent 20 minutes getting you on the phone line and that's all you're going to say to them? Ah!
Exactly.
Where are the treasures buried?
Exactly. What are the lotto numbers? Which lottery? Which ticket? Do I got to go to a specific store to buy it, you know?
Give your child my middle name, you know? It's like, come on, give them a message they can use.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so funny, eh? And then verify it, right? You know? I always take it with I had a dream about my brother who passed away. And like a week ago, week and a half ago. And I'm still sorting out what it means. You know, these things take time too, right? You know, because they're not always clear cut. And, you know, in the dream, he was sort of modeling some of the behavior from his life that was sometimes problematic. But he was also really pissed off with me about something. And, you know, and I'm like,
oh,
what does that mean? You know what I mean? And so like it's sort of this collection of sort of different things. And there was all sorts of other stuff going on. And so, you know, it's like that, sit with it until you figure it out, even if it takes time, right? You know,
it might take
me a while to get to fully understand what's going on. Because I think that like many dreams, there was something that's just about him, something that's about me, something that's about some other people in my life that he also knew that need to be sorted out. And
right.
So like there's many, many levels, you know? And
absolutely.
So chewing on it until it really feels digested is so, so important, you know?
And also the timing of that. Like I always tell clients, okay, wait, is that an anniversary of any kind? You know that, and a lot of times it's amazing how sometimes it's their birthday that you got the dream. Sometimes, and you don't even think to connect the dots of timing of things.
Absolutely, for sure.
You know, I just came back from Wisconsin, and my I loved my mother-in-law Stella. She was like my magical grandmother that I never had, and she passed away about 7 years ago, and we were at the farm just visiting because it's in family's hands, but we didn't stay there. And we were driving by and I was going to say goodbye to the farm, you know, and I didn't want to. And about 2 miles before saying goodbye to the farm, I just closed my eyes and just said, okay, I'm just going to know where the farm is. I'm just see if I can feel Stella's energy or the energy of the old apple orchard and all the other spirits there that I love. Can I feel them? Will I feel them? And not as a test, but as that's how I keep my muscles fluid. It's like, pay attention, Nancy. Do this not with your sight, but with your sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I practice that all the time. I love practicing that, mm-hmm. you know. So we got close and I thought, okay, I think I'm here. I can feel it. And I opened my eyes and a mother deer and a little baby deer ran across the road, almost getting hit by a car right near the farm entrance.
Nice.
I know it was beautiful, but it also said to me, if you think about it, like you said, really unpack a message. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. The mother kind of put the baby in danger by running across the road at that specific time. So is Stella saying something to me about me needing to be a more vigilant mother?
Mm.
You know, like, and there's no judgment. It was just like, what, when you, but I think I get that as a tarot reader, is metaphor after metaphor after metaphor, and it keeps unfolding until it gets to this place that it feels like it hits my heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hits my heart. And yeah, so that was, I just said, thank you. You know, I just like put my head down. I said, thank you for that. You know, that was such a beautiful. Sometimes we do just need to see, you know, it's like, you know, not just sense, but we need to see. And I do think that they pull it out of the hat sometimes that way.
For sure. Absolutely. Well, it kind of raises a question for me. Does your son see, feel, have any interest?
A, B, and not C. Okay. He said to me, he came up to me, you know, when he was like 8.
Yeah.
And he said, Mom, I do not believe in invisible giants. You know, and I thought to myself, oh my God, they are giants, aren't they? You know, like I never thought of Krishna that's only 2 inches tall. Although ever since then, I have been playing with this little Ganesh who's only like an inch tall, which is really fun.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I said, okay, wait, Alex, what if that was just love? If we just took off gods and goddesses' names and persona names and just said love, I said, would you serve love? And he said, yeah. And I said, we're good. We're good, you know? Because, you know, and I feel like we may, and this might just be me, again, being kind of projecting like crazy, but I wonder if we're going to be one of the last generations to really kind of give the invisibles names. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's changing. I think that's evolving into, I don't mention God, goddess, and I don't mention names with someone under 25.
Right.
Just because that's not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that is not there for them. I mean, there tends to still be a Jesus because he's being crucified daily for them. But other than that,
right.
You know, it's like, you know. It's kind of hard sometimes when you look at people and go, who do you believe in? What's your source?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what your source is? Is it a loving source? Because if you don't know if it's a loving source or not, I don't know if it's your source.
Yeah, I haven't had that experience. I mean, I definitely have a bunch of clients who are, you know, in their late teens or early 20s. And they're
cool with that.
They are looking for, they're either already identifying as something really specific.
Okay.
Or they are looking, they've been exploring and they're like, you know, should I do A, B, C, or D? You know, and that's one of the questions that they come to me with, you know? And so,
yeah, you and I are very different crossroads for people.
I think so, right? You know, and
that's cool.
Yeah. We're going to attract the certain kinds of energy based on who we are and how we are, right?
And how we serve, mm-hmm. in a way.
You know, because, okay. I mean, I also work with people who are generically spiritual, you know? I mean, certainly, right? Like, I'm a light worker, or I'm this, I'm that, which is, you know, which to me is just sort of an unpersonified approach to spirit, right? Which is great, and that works too, right? But I would say actually that one of the things that people come to me for is for me to tell them the name of what they're doing or what they ought to be doing, what is on the other side and what is the name and what is it looking from them to take them on the next stage of their journey.
Oh my God, Andrew, that was beautiful what you just said. That was beautiful. You know what the first thing that came to my mind is, I think what I do for people is that I walk alongside them and we're both 7 years old again. And I just look at them and go, it is beautiful out there. It really is beautiful. And it's more beautiful because you're here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're it and it's you. So it's like, you know, I don't hold them. I play with them. I, you know, go into the forest with them. And just kind of go, remember what moss smells like?
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you see that?
Do you see that tree moving over there? Was it walking? Has it got something to say? Did you hear the cardinal? He just said your name, I think, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Definitely. I love that too.
It is a wholeness, isn't it? You know, that when we are, when we love our lives, no matter how weird they are or what's going on or what will happen, when we just love our lives the way that we're constructed, there's just a wholeness with that. There is just a feeling whole, like you're a part of a bigger whole. And I think so many people are out there so hungry, Andrew. They're starving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're starving. And I don't know if the traditional religions are, or even the alternative spiritualities, both ends, I don't know, are feeding them as well as they need to be fed. I tell people, listen, if you're falling in church, it's not working, you know, and if you never help poor people or help people with the alternative spirituality, not working, mm-hmm. you know, it's like we got to find where does that religion help become more about your body and taking care of earth? How can religion be more feminine? Mm-hmm. And how can that spirituality be more masculine? What changes are you making? How are you serving people? Who are you spreading your money with?
For sure. Yeah, how do you become whole, right?
Right. How do you become whole?
Yeah.
I was just thinking the other day, it's interesting how there's priests. I grew up in a Catholic church, so there were priests and the women were called nuns. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, nun, wait a minute, N-O-N-E, right. Nun. Whoops! I was like, well, wait a minute. But then again, if you bought that further, that means nothing. Like, so the nuns are holier, mm-hmm. in a way. I mean, if you looked at it that way, it would be like, no, we have no definition. We are the nun. Mm-hmm. Although I still, at this point, more interested in the Norn.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, and for me, I basically grew up without religion. So, you know, I kind of bypassed a lot of that stuff just with this continuous hunger to understand, right? And to know and to relate to spirit. So, you know, for me, it's kind of fascinating to watch.
Oh, maybe that's too. Maybe that is why you serve a lot of younger people that don't have a lot of baggage. Mm-hmm. They want information from you, where I'm really good with people that have about 3 cases of baggages with them, you know?
Exactly.
I was trained for that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's put aside your Catholic baggage. Okay, now let's put aside your joined a yogi cult baggage. Now let's put aside your I was going to be Wiccan baggage. Okay, now let's see what's left. What's going on? What fires you up
in your head these days? Because that's still not the whole thing that we're talking about.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think that this is a great place to put this aside.
Yes.
And if anybody out there would like to find Nancy and, unpack some of their baggage or just chat with her or check out what she's doing, where should they look for you? Where are you online these days?
www.betweenworlds.us.
All right. So I am going to include that in the show notes as well so that people can just click a link and come and hang out. And
I got to go to your website and read your manifesto to see if I like you, Andrew.
Well, it's true. You know, you might come back and decide you want to go back in time and undo this conversation. Right? I will include, for those who want to find my manifesto, I'll make sure I include a note directly to that as well. So you can
Yes, you should.
Awesome.
Well, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, too.